Scripture comes from Daniel 6th chapter. Darius decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, stationed throughout the realm, and over them three administrators, including Daniel. These satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit, so the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, "We will never find any charge against Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went together to the king and said to him, "May King Darius live forever." All the administrators of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, advisors, and governors have agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict that for 30 days, anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as a law of the Medes and Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed. So King Darius signed the document. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house, the windows in its upper room and opened toward Jerusalem. And three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to God, to his God, just as he had done before.
If we could look now at the scripture that Brother Curtis read and found in the book of Daniel, I want to look at the subject, Daniel, Father in the Faith. And the reason why I titled that way is because I'm sure you all know Daniel, so far as we know, was not a father in the biological sense. He may have been, but to my knowledge, we don't find any record of him having a family physically, biologically. However, he was a father in the faith. And you don't have to be a father biologically to be a father in the faith. There are some fathers biologically that are fathers only in that sense. And you know, these are what we call absentee fathers. So Daniel was a great man for us fathers to model our life after. And since we are in the book of Daniel, we've spent a couple of weeks looking at the example of Daniel and many wonderful lessons in this book. I'd encourage you to read it. But I thought we'd look this morning at the sixth chapter of Daniel, probably the most famous chapter, maybe the most famous chapter in the Old Testament. Maybe not the most famous, maybe Psalm 23 might be more well known. But this chapter is probably depicted more in children's Bible stories than any other chapter in the Bible. And you know what it is, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And you can probably, you may even have a picture in your Bible of Daniel standing in that lion's den. I can remember that from my childhood, where I was taught about Daniel in the den of lions. We didn't have lions where I lived. We had cats. And sometimes I'd, you know, gather those cats around and kind of pretend that I was Daniel in the lion's den. We actually had a cat that was pretty bad. He tore me up pretty good one time, and Dad kicked him over the porch rail afterward. So I know a little bit about cats, but not much about lions. But I really appreciate that story of Daniel in the lion's den and how that encouraged me to be courageous in the faith, courageous for my beliefs, for my convictions. And good Christians ought to be courageous. And I think, above all, fathers were created to be courageous like Daniel. So I want to look with you this morning at three lessons that I believe God would want to teach us about Daniel. And not just fathers, but all of us. So you all would listen in. Learn what God wants us to learn from this great chapter of the Bible. Well, first of all, there was a decree resisted. A decree resisted. If you'll look there at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, we read about how Darius, who was the king of Persia, you'll understand. And he appointed these satraps. Now, these were just government officials, but they were given a lot of authority. They were like presidents, really. And they were given authority throughout the kingdom. And there were three administrators over them, and one of whom was Daniel. So Daniel seemed to be, if not here at this time, at least he became the prime minister, what we would call the prime minister. It says that the purpose of the satraps was to be accountable to the king so that the king might not suffer loss. And Daniel so distinguished himself, it says, among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. In other words, like our prime minister. So that sets the stage then for what we read about afterward, this decree that was made really at the instigation of the enemies of Daniel and the enemies, we would say, of the faith. And so there was a decree that Daniel was subject to. He was obviously the target subject, wasn't he, of this decree? Because they had it out for him. They couldn't find any fault in him. Now, wouldn't that be a great thing if our enemies would look at us and they couldn't find any fault in us? I think most of us would say, well, they wouldn't have to look very hard to find something to accuse me of. But Daniel was of such a sterling, pure character, such an uncompromising individual, that they couldn't find a fault in him. And so they found something that would make him violate a decree. And of course, the decree was a very unjust decree. It was a very unwise decree. It was a very unholy decree that they would bow down and worship only the king of Babylon, or the king of Persia, Darius. Now, I'm sure that Darius thought, well, I mean, who else is worthy of worship but me? And I flattered his ego to think that he would be worshipped. But Daniel, we're told, had an excellent spirit in him. But yet he was the target of this unjust decree. Now, I believe that there are going to be those times in all of our lives, and I'm speaking especially to fathers, but not all. I mean, to all of us as Christians. There are going to be those times when we are made subject to unjust laws. I think it's true in America today. I think there are laws now that are unjust, that are un-American, really, that impinge upon our freedom of speech, for example. And you can't say some things today that maybe you could say before, or at least we think we can't, because of the threat of lawsuits, if nothing else. So it is time that we, like the apostles in the New Testament, and like Daniel, will have to say, if we love God and we love His Word, and we know that He has written commandments in this Word that are for us today, there are times that we're going to say we must obey God rather than men. We need to be people of principle, don't we? Or we're going to bend with every wind. And Daniel was not such an individual. Daniel stood like a rock because he loved God. He loved His Word. And he wanted, above all, to obey God, even if it meant that he had to violate an unjust law, as he did here. So there was a decree resisted. Its subject, its suffering, its subject was Daniel. And all who would live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, we will suffer persecution. And I think that means today. I think that means not yesterday, but today. If you will stand up for Jesus, you will stand up for His Word, you're going to have to pay the price, as Daniel did. There was suffering involved. I'm interested in this subject in the Bible. I can't say that I love the subject, because suffering is a hard subject to think about, especially when it involves us. In the 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 31, it says that God left Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was another godly man. He was the king of Judah, one of the godliest of the kings of Judah. And it says that God left Hezekiah to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And then think, too, of Job and his suffering. Now, do you think that perhaps that was the same with Daniel? Now, I don't know that Daniel was subject. Well, see, he was a man like we are. The Bible says even Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. That means that he had the same temptations. The Bible says there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. So I think Daniel certainly could have been corrupted, maybe because of his position. Maybe there was a time that Daniel thought, well, yeah, I'm coming up in the world. I'm right where I want to be. God has blessed me, and I'm just, I don't know, I'm hypothetical, hypothesizing here. But I think that Daniel, God perhaps wanted to see really what was in Daniel's heart. And so he allowed this trial to come to him. The Bible says, in fact, Job said, when God has tried me, I will come forth as gold. And he said, God. He said, when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Because he had put his trust in God. He had taken that step of faith. He had stepped out, we would say, on that, kind of that narrow plank. But that's the safest place to be. And Daniel was about to find out that, wasn't he, in the lion's den. So there was a subject here. There was its suffering. There was its superseding. That is, a superseding of the decree. In Psalm 76, verse 10, it says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. God can use the wrath of men. Men's laws, unjust decrees. Even things that happen to us that are unjust. I mean, if I were to ask, has anyone ever had anything unjust happen to you? I'm sure every hand would go up. And you could think immediately, perhaps, of one outstanding example in your life of something unjust that has happened to you. Well, God says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath you shall restrain. God, you will restrain. So I think Daniel knew that God would not fail him. Perhaps like the three friends of Daniel, perhaps he said, God will deliver me, and if not, I will obey him. That's faith. That's what we see in Daniel. Faith. Father in the faith. So there is a decree resisted. There is also a decision rested, if you will. In verse 10, if you'll look there, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. And he pulled the curtain, right? So that he could pray in secret. Doesn't the Bible say that we should pray in secret? I think it's one of the biggest lies of the devil, that we're not to be open with our faith. No, Daniel prayed in front of that window. Now, don't you know that Daniel must have suspected that there would be spies out there looking through that window, knowing that this was the custom of his life? Well, it says in verse 11 that these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? And you've heard of the law of the Medes and Persians. Maybe growing up, you thought that you were living under the law of the Medes and Persians, because sometimes your parents' decrees seem like that, very capricious. Well, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Now, the Bible does say, does it not, that we are to be subject to authority. Now, I think that sometimes, though, we take that too far. There is a time, I believe, for civil disobedience. Not in the sense that we go and burn buildings or do violent acts, but that sometimes we, and not in the home, Chris. I don't know whether you were thinking that. Maybe you're thinking of something else. But I saw a smile come across your face. Like, you don't have to obey mom and dad anymore. If what they tell you goes against the word, certainly. I think sometimes there is a time. But if it is not against God's word, then we should obey. But here, this was clearly against the word of God. It was against the first commandment, wasn't it? Where God said, you shall have no other gods before me. And so I think in Daniel's heart, he said, I must obey God rather than men. There was a decision rested, and it was prepared. He didn't just, you know, have this decree come upon him just out of the blue and thought, well, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm unprepared. I never thought about, you know, something like this happening. No, I think for many years. In fact, when Daniel was just a young man, apparently he had made his decision for God. And so, for example, we read in chapter 1 and verse 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king, with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And so he had purposed this in his heart. Jesus said, didn't he, that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks? So what's in your heart is going to come out. And here it came out in the case of Daniel. He was prepared. There was a prompting. It says in verse 10 here that when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house. Now you think that when Daniel knew that, maybe, you know, if he were like some men, he would just think, well, you know, I'm just going to have to be more private. I'm going to have to just do like the Bible says, pray in my closet. And, you know, I can't be open about my faith. Well, Daniel wasn't going to do that. Daniel decided that he was going to go ahead and do like he had done before. His windows were being opened, it says, in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. You know, not just once a day. You know, most people think, well, once a week certainly is enough for prayer. I mean, what do I need to pray about? I mean, just, you know, pray in the church. Here, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We ought to be men of prayer. And if we're not going to be used. Again, do we want to be a Daniel? Dare to be a Daniel? Then we need to be like him. There's a preparation here. There's a prompting. There's a practice. Your practice will follow what you decide in your heart to do. And that's why it's very important not to leave God out of the decision. Daniel could have compromised, but he didn't. And so he just committed his life to God and did what he knew God wanted him to do. So there was a decision here. There was also a deliverance manifested. First of all, I believe that there's a warfare waged here. Now we read about it in the later chapters of Daniel. Again, I would encourage you to read it because it tells about how Daniel was being assaulted by the spiritual dimension, by the devil, really. And God sent an angel, I think it was Michael, to intercede for him. But because there was this unseen warfare, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So those battles that we face, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, why did God give me kids? You ever thought that? You know, I wish I could go back, or I wish I could send one of them back. Why do I have these kinds of problems? You know, I thought once my kids were raised, I'd have the empty nest, but I haven't got it yet. And I'm still having these struggles. Well, you know why it is. It's because there's an unseen warfare taking place, as with the case of Daniel. And that's why the Bible says that we must put on the full armor of God. Read about it in Ephesians chapter 6. We need to have the Word. We need to have prayer. We need to be prepared for what God wants to do in our lives, what He wants to do in our family. I remember reading about, I've read many missionary biographies. I remember reading about John G. Patton, a missionary from Scotland who went to the New Hebrides Islands, the South Sea Islands. And he told about why he went. He said it was because he had a father who went into this wee Scottish cottage, he said. And in that little Scottish cottage, there was a little prayer room. And he went in there every day, he said, and they could just almost set their watches. I don't know that they had watches then, but he said they knew that at that time of day, his father would be found in that prayer room. And he would be heard praying for them. He said he heard him pray for him by name. And sometimes they would creep over to the door just to listen in on his prayers. There's a warfare being waged. And we as fathers need to be prepared for that warfare. There's a wonder wrought here. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33, it tells of the saints who of old, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I'm not sure all of those things pertain to Daniel, but certainly the stopping of the mouths of lions did. It says that in verse 16, I know you'll want to read on to this if you haven't read it for some time, about the Daniel in the lion's den. It said the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. And so the king really wanted this decree to be overturned. And it says a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Now, it looked pretty bleak, didn't it? I mean, of course, we know what happened, but if we didn't know what happened, we would have thought, well, you know, Daniel's a goner. Let's just say last rites on him, have a prayer, commit him to the Lord. He's already as good as in heaven, but we didn't know then what God was going to do, or we wouldn't have known if we didn't know already. But it says that at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. Well, it says that night he couldn't sleep. It said he passed the night without entertainment, no TV, of course, in those days. But he was a king. He could have had the jesters or whatever they had come and try to entertain him, make him forget his troubles. But it says he couldn't sleep. And at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And I'm sure he probably thought he would just get silence, or maybe one of the lions' stomach rumbling contentment. But it says that Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." And the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den. See, they didn't have to wait long for breakfast. They may have been a little hungry after, you know, lying Daniel through the night. I'm sure God had his angels around Daniel. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. But now they had a good meal. Now Daniel, it says his enemies were thrown in along with their wives and children. It seems cruel, but that's the way they did things then. And it says, before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. So there was a wonder wrought here, wasn't there? And there was a witness watched. The spotlight was on Daniel. Even though we didn't see him there, no new Old Testament personality has been the subject of more artistic renditions than Daniel in the lion's den. I remember reading about, well, in fact, not reading, but I saw the movie a number of years ago. I'm sure many of you will have probably seen it as well, called Chariots of Fire. And it told about this young Scottish man named Eric Little. And Eric Little was a Christian. He was a missionary. He had been raised on the mission field. But he had this great gift of being able to run and being able to run fast. But he was conflicted about it. He wondered, is this really what God would have me to do? When there was such a great need on the mission field, a Christian man, I think from the mission, told him, "Go ahead, Eric, and run. Run to the glory of God and let the world stand back and wonder." And I think that's what God would want us to do today. He wants us to give our lives to Him like Daniel. I'm sure Daniel, when he was brought up in Persia, he probably thought, "I wish I were back in my homeland. I wish I were doing something else. But I'm going to do my best where God has put me. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted." And we know what happened. I just want to encourage us to be like Daniel, to be like this man who is really our father in the faith.